All right, today is number 17, Isaac Backus. 1724 to 1806 was his lifetime. A little historical overview, and I'll try not to take too much time. Dr. Volgan's wondering how much time he'll get. Again, this was kind of during the time of the first Great Awakening in the 1730s and 1740s. A great revival had been spreading through the British Isles, and George Whitefield had come to the colonies in the 1740s and was preaching here. Lots of people were getting saved. But there was a state church already established, people set in their ways, a congregational church. And the state was collecting taxes from the citizenry to support it, and the members of this established church was not looking too favorably on these new converts that weren't going to enjoy being set in those same ways. This new religion was too personal, too real. People were inspired to open the Bible for themselves and see what it had to say, and that was going to be a problem. The new believers were being called new lights as opposed to the old lights, and some had gone back into these congregational churches hoping to reform them from the inside out. But a lot of those old people, those old lights weren't even saved. And you get the oil and water and you try to mix those and it's not going to work. And so pretty soon Backus and a group of others were actually excommunicated from the congregational church, and they started a new church called they joined into what was known as the Separatists, that was separate from the established church. But as they read the Bible, they saw that infant baptism and sprinkling, those things weren't in the Bible, so even the separatist churches weren't enough for them. They had to step away again, and then that's when they became Baptist and started a Baptist church. So Isaac Backus himself, he would have been a teenager when the revival was spreading across the country, and he was saved at around the age of 17, and then he was a faithful pastor in Massachusetts in the same place for nearly 60 years. He was a freedom fighter. He has been called the most effective and forceful writer America produced on behalf of the separation of church and state principle. And he believed that the government should not tax the citizens to support the teaching of religion, and that government had no power or authority over the church. When the need arose, he actually went before the Continental Congress to represent the Warren Association of Baptists. So just three quick ideas worth noting. He was a collector of history. He actually, as he fought for religious freedom, he invited people to send him stories of how that there were people that were being persecuted for trying to worship according to their consciences. One lady, Martha Kimball, in 1774, she supplied a story. She said, "During a cold winter, about 9 or 10 in the evening, I was taken prisoner, carried by the collector away from my three small children to be placed in jail. The night was especially cold, and so she was eventually coerced to pay this ecclesiastical tax, this church tax." She had refused up to this point because she was a Baptist. She had demonstrated this to the authorities. She says, "I belong to a different church." But she said, "They dealt thus with a poor widow woman." So that was the kind of person that he wanted to help. Of course, during this time, we enjoy the proper notion of separation of church and state in 1774, where the government doesn't tell us how to worship. Of course, that phrase is severely misunderstood today. But in his day, it was a vision. It was a goal that did not exist yet, but he was working toward those ends. Today, in the name of this idea, government works to push Bible truth out of anything it has affiliation with, when the idea that Backus fought for was the government staying away from telling people how to worship. One of his quotes, he said it so very well, "Religious matters are to be separated from the jurisdiction of the state, not because they are beneath the interests of the state, but quite to the contrary, because they are too high and holy and thus are beyond the competence of the state. I thought he said that quite well. So imagine, I grew up in Utah, imagine the IRS coming to my parents and collecting money to upkeep the Mormon churches out there and pay the salaries of the bishops out there. And then my pastor, or my parents, in addition, were trying to support Anchor Baptist Church and my pastor. That was similar to what was going on there. As far as the Continental Congress, the first one was in 1774, and Isaac found himself standing before them defending the Warren Baptist Association. He had already written an article called An Appeal to the Public for Religious Liberty. Now, the call for the Congress itself had originated in Massachusetts. The Baptists there arranged for a conference with the representatives from their state. And John Adams, you remember that name? He was a leader of the Massachusetts delegation. He was upset by their plea. In answering their pleas for this religious liberty, he gave a lengthy speech, and Samuel Adams also chimed in. They were certainly champions of the American Revolution, but not champions of the cause for religious freedom. They were content with the state church and how it was set up, and it irritated them that the Baptists were not content. They thought that the Baptists were making a mountain out of a molehill. At the end of this time, John Adams closed the delegation and promised, a promise that he did not keep, that they would do what they could for the Baptist. But he closed with these words, "Gentlemen, if you mean to try to effect a change in Massachusetts law respecting religion, you may as well attempt to change the course of the sun set in the heavens." And I thought that was kind of fun. What he apparently didn't realize that Isaac did serve a God that not only stopped the sun once and turned the sun back 15 degrees once, but also brought it into existence. John Adams returned home and represented the entire count differently. He said that Isaac Backus had attempted to break up the union with the colonies. And then it was said, "What a blessing for us even today that all of our nation's founding fathers had not this same contracted view of liberty." So not only was his original plea met with opposition, but it was misrepresented afterwards. And that's part of standing up for what's right. So Isaac Backus ended up being a powerful voice for religious freedom and had a great deal of influence even on the founding fathers. It was said that George Washington from time to time would ask him to come and address the Continental Congress. Lastly, he had a really good wife, Susanna Mason. Her great-grandpa had been a soldier in Oliver Cromwell's army. So she had a lot of that background too with religious liberty, and some of that was in her blood. Saved in 1745 and joined the Separatist Church. When they were married, they were not fully Baptistic, but the two of them joined in this journey together. And later they both became fully persuaded. At their wedding in 1749, he said, and again, it sounds like here a little bit, it reminded me of Friday night when Pastor Armacost was talking about, now this is a solemn, I mean, this is before you, but this is mainly before God. And so for him, there was some merrymaking in Massachusetts in those days, and he says, I want my wedding to be far more serious. This is solemn, and it's before God. I thought that was pretty interesting. He said about his wife, she was very capable and thrifty. She raised 9 children, and a lot of that responsibility fell to her since he was traveling a lot promoting religious liberty. And when he was home, much of his time was tied up with his pastoral responsibilities. But she was a very good woman. Isaac said of her, "Her prudence and economy did much toward the support of our family. Her exemplary walk and conversation caused her to be highly esteemed by her acquaintances in general. In several revivals of religion among us, and in one just before her death, she most heartily rejoiced and was much engaged." She actually had a very painful and debilitating illness. And the older we get, the more we find out how much our spirit and our flesh are connected, huh? It's hard to have a good spirit when you're hurt. For her, she didn't allow that illness to define her. One of her quotes was, "I am not so much concerned with living or dying as to have my will swallowed up in the will of God." So she was a tremendous help to her husband, Isaac Backus, and his wife.